720 WGN. Good evening, John Landecker. Going until 10 o'clock tonight. We opened with a clip from an absolutely fabulous, did you hear me say fabulous, documentary that is currently running on Disney Plus called Full Court Press. And I'm very excited to have that director, the director of Full Court Press, Kristen Lapis, with us tonight on the phone. Good evening, and welcome to WGN.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Listen, this documentary is everything that I look for in sports documentaries, because that's one of my main go-to entertainment genres, if I can use that word. And you follow three players. You follow Kiki Rice from UCLA, Camila Cardoso from South Carolina, and of course, Caitlin Clark from Iowa. I have so many. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I love hearing that you're a fan of the genre. You know, I've lived and breathed it for over a decade now. And this one, though, was one of the more special projects that I've been involved with in my career. So I'm so happy to hear that you enjoyed it.
Well, I know that a documentary, I mean, documentaries do have a plot, so to speak, not like a scripted show that or movie or television series that has a definite, you know, characters and conflict. It's not predicted, but it's sort of anticipated. How about that? So how was it that you decided on these particular players for this particular season to make that documentary?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I've been working and following women's basketball specifically for the past couple of years. I directed a 30 for 30 on the 1996 women's Olympic basketball team called Dream On. And so I've been a huge fan of the game, the women's game specifically, for a while now. And Peyton Manning runs a company called Omaha Productions, and he came to me and he was like, hey, I'm coming off the success of a show that I did for Netflix called Quarterback with Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. And I'd love to do that with women's basketball. Like, would you be interested in doing this with me? What an honor for Peyton to, you know, think of me to help helm this thing. And from there, we, you know, we started to scout and essentially cast the show. Of course, Caitlin was the centerpiece and the first person that we went after. Peyton actually has a relationship with Caitlin. They developed a friendship over the course of the last season. And so he kind of pitched her on the series, and she said yes. And then from there, it was really important to all of us that we diversify the cast and the stories in terms of what was at stake for each player, you know, what point in their careers they were in. Kiki Rice is a sophomore and, you know, has totally different expectations for her, you know, team than Caitlin Clark or Camila Cardoso. So it was really important to diversify the storylines and pick three very unique women who are playing for different reasons, and I think we accomplished that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Kiki Rice is in the documentary is a sophomore for UCLA, and, you know, her background is dramatically different than Caitlin Clark's, and they're all dramatically different from Cardoso, and I think that's one of the great attributes of the documentary. I mean, Rice is from upper middle class, maybe even higher family in California, goes to UCLA. Her parents both played basketball for Yale. Her aunt was in the Obama administration. I mean, it's a whole completely different scene than, say, Caitlin Clark, who basically is a, you know, Midwest girl who grew up in Iowa, and Cardoso, who had a really rough upbringing in Brazil. I mean, these are distinct storylines that you really do a great job intertwining and showing the differences and the similarities.
Yeah, I mean, it was so well put, they come from such different backgrounds. Mm. And I think, like, juxtaposing, you know, Kiki, like you said, this elite political upbringing, she's just wired differently. Like, her family has been in the spotlight, and so she understands that pressure, versus someone like Camila Cardoso, whose mom was selling spices on the streets in order to make ends meet. And she comes to America from Brazil at age 15 to hopefully play basketball at an elite level and eventually make money to support her mom. So again, like the fact that they all have these very distinct backgrounds, but at the same time, they have commonalities. They all play for top 10 programs, and they're all, you know, elite athletes that are trying to figure out this new landscape in women's sports in 2024. In terms of the moment, you know, we all were really excited for this season and had high expectations. But I'd be lying if I said that we scripted it out so that two of our players were playing in the national championship game in front of, you know, 18 million people. That we did not anticipate.
Well, I anticipate more of this conversation when we come back on 720 WGN, part of the Full Court Press documentary that's directed by our guest, Kristen Lopez. As you mentioned earlier, it's done in conjunction with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. Did he ever explain to you where that Omaha yell came from, by the way? Because I watch so many friggin' football games, and he's yelling, Omaha, 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 like, no matter what the situation, no matter what the down. Did he ever say where that came from, or is it just something that did, and he stuck with it?
You know what? This is really embarrassing, but I never asked. But that is literally the first thing I'm going to do when I get off of this call with you. I'm going to text him and ask him what it means. I'll report it back.
I think anybody who watched Peyton's professional football career heard him yell that over and over and over and over again, so much so that he used it as a name for a production company. So
exactly.
There's no reason, but there certainly is a relationship. The access that you have to these three players, not only in the locker room and on the court, but with their parents and their families and their hometowns, how was that arrived at? How many hours did you spend recording all of this? And what did you, do the players, I'm like stumbling over myself, I have so many questions. Do these players, do they get used to the idea that there's a camera there? I mean, eventually, go ahead.
I'm gonna start with the fact that it was a huge undertaking to do a project of this magnitude, you know, four hours of content. And we only had 6 months to put the whole thing together. Normally, in a series like Quarterback, for example, on Netflix, they filmed with the players for a full season, and then they had 8 months after the season was over to put it together. We did not have that luxury. So we were, in real time, filming with each of the women. I believe we shot between 20 and 28 days with each of them. So we were really embedded with them throughout, you know, the course of the season. As you mentioned, that didn't, it was during the holidays. We were, you know, with them on Christmas Day, for example. We were with them throughout the entire NCAA tournament, through the WNBA draft with Caitlin Clark and Camila Cardoso. So, I can't even estimate how many hours of footage we had. I do know that we had a team of 25 people, and they were dedicated to this project night and day, for 6 full months. Sorting through all of this footage. So I have to give credit to the team that worked with me on this, and allowed us to kind of find all of those hidden gems. Because like you said, when you're filming every single day, you know, there are some days that nothing exciting and interesting happens. And then there's other days where, you know, you get lightning in a bottle. So, you just got to kind of be there, in case, you know, for the moments that are, you know, great and stand out. In terms of the women getting used to us being there, it's always a philosophy of mine when I do projects like this to have a really small footprint in the field. So it was really only a producer, director, one camera operator, and an audio guy. And I feel like that really does help the situation, because there are some people that go in with 15, you know, member crews, and it's intimidating and people don't act natural. But I do feel like they eventually kind of forgot about us. And, you know, you can tell, like, you know, during the, after Iowa loses the national championship and we're in the locker room and Coach Bluder makes that emotional speech, you know, we really were like fly on the wall. And she said to us afterwards, she's like, I honestly blacked out. I didn't even know you guys were in there or not. So I think it's a testament to, you know, the trust we were able to build over the course of the season.
Well, you know, the media builds a image of these players over the season, and specifically Caitlin Clark, quite a bit of coverage. And you see her in pretty much controlled environments. But if you want to see Caitlin Clark, take a look at what she does in the locker room after they're upset by Nebraska. I'll get out of her way right now. All of these players are just unbelievably intense. Clark and Cardoza especially, although I believe all three had at least, well, maybe not Clark, but the other two had technicals for physical altercations. Am I right?
You are right. And yeah. And again, that was really important to us as well, is like, we wanted to make sure that people understood that women's basketball is as intense as the men's game. Like, yeah, the conflict is there. Like, they all, you know, they care the same way. The locker rooms are as, you know, the coaches are, you know, reaming players out, and not everybody is best friends. And there's really interesting rivalries. And yeah, I just feel like women's sports have not been painted in that intense light. And so that was kind of like our North Star throughout this. Like, we want to make sure that we're capitalizing on just how intense these women are and how badly they want it, and their competitive streak.
You know, and then them as an individual. I mean, sports are an analogy to, you know, to life. How many times have we heard that? But Cardoza, for instance, I believe she's 6'7", and, you know, was very, very tall at a very young age in Brazil, was bullied and kidded for that in school. And part of the reason that she wanted to become a famous basketball player was not just because she wanted to have fame and get the money, but she wanted people to recognize her as a person, as opposed to just some tall, as her mother called her, my giant. I mean, that's very touching.
It is. She was looking for acceptance, and yeah, she found that in basketball. And it really is. It's heartbreaking, but it's also, you understand her so much better when you know that that happened to her and she experienced the bullying, because the way that she feels about the game, it's her entire life. It's her passion. It's who she is. It's a part of her identity. And it's because it was the first place that she was accepted. And that's the thing, and you nailed it. It's like, these storylines run so much deeper than the 2 hours people see them playing on the court, you know? And that was important to us, that we showcase kind of all of the in-between moments and their why, and why they were here, and what drove them and what inspired them.
You know, one of the surprising factoids that popped out for me during this was that Caitlin Clark's first choice was not Iowa. I was like, what? She and committed to Notre Dame? You know, we're in Chicago. That's just right down the street almost. I mean, it blew me away when that scene appeared in the documentary, and I had no idea. And she committed to them. She went there. She had the visit. She had to call Muffet McGraw and say, hey, you know, she's 17 years old, and she's got to tell this coach at Notre Dame. And they had some powerhouse teams, by the way, as I'm sure you know. And guess what? Not coming. I mean, wow.
No, it was unbelievable. Anytime an interview subject says to you, I have never told anybody this, but your ears kind of perk up, right? And, you know, it totally is like a sliding door effect, right? Like, her entire trajectory could have been different had she gone to Notre Dame. And she says that. She's like, I know I would have been a good player anywhere, but I don't think that it would have reached the magnitude that it reached with me playing for my home state. That was just a totally different relationship. So I was shocked by that confession.
Yeah. You know, and obviously she felt very comfortable by that point with your cameras and whoever was recording at that time to be offering up that kind of conversation, because one of the things that comes through very clearly in this documentary is that Caitlin Clark is fully aware of the pressure and the spotlight that is on Caitlin Clark, not necessarily Caitlin Clark the person, but the basketball player and the image and all of that. And for that person to just sort of say, oh, by the way, you know what? I never told anybody this. I mean, that's an amazing testimony, I think, to the way that you approach these subjects for your documentary.
I mean, thank you for saying that. There is nothing more important to me when I prepare for a film like this than the master interviews. I think that a project kind of lives and dies by them. And it is something that I prepare for weeks, if not months beforehand, making sure that I am buttoned up with all of my research. And I essentially have like a map of how and where I want the interview to go. And then the biggest thing is always making sure you're able to pivot and follow up if something does surprise you that you're not expecting. And I'm sure you know that obviously from, you know, conducting interviews your whole life, but you really want to bring somebody back to a moment and live in that moment. And I feel like when you do that, you really do garner the best sound. And, you know, I have a mentor in the business, Tom Rinaldi, who works at Fox Sports as a reporter. And, he kind of taught me how to interview. And again, it's just so, so important that you prepare for the moments because they kind of make or break the film.
Kristen, thank you so much for being with us. I'm sorry that we're out of time. I can't recommend enough, this documentary that's playing on Disney Plus right now, Full Court Press. Thank you for being with us, and I'll be looking forward to more of your work. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks so much, John, for having me. It was a pleasure.